So about 2 years ago, can everyone hear me? Okay, good. So about 2 years ago, I had one of those experiences that reminds me of why I'm a Unitarian Universalist. I was visiting Pachamon Terrace, which is a beautiful sculpture garden in rural New York. It was created by Frederick Franck, who we had just heard from. Frederick Franck is an artist and a writer, and he created Pachamon Terrace in the last decades of his life. Now, these sculptures, or icons, as he called them, these icons take many forms, but they all reflect Franck's basic theology, that we are all bound together by an underlying unity, and that we truly come alive, we truly realize our full humanity when we let go of sort of our egocentric nature and live a life grounded in love and compassion. That was his theology that you see again and again in his sculptures and his writings. Now, the art and writings of Frederick Franck have played a pretty significant role in the formation of my own theology. I've been reading and rereading his books over the last 20 years. And actually, if you go into my office in the old high school room, you'll see the wall is covered with drawings by him. But you know, it was only when I was walking around Pachamon Terrace and seeing these icons with my own eyes that I really grasped his theology. There was one moment in particular. I was sitting in this little, like a hut, in front of an icon that was based on the, is it Pietà or Pietà? The Michelangelo? What is it? Which is what you said. So, you know, that's Michelangelo's sculpture of Mary cradling the body of Jesus after he had died. But in Franck's version, Mary's arms are not wrapped around the body. They're raised to heaven in supplication or maybe in horror. And actually, if you look at your order of service on the cover, you'll see that icon. And what you can't see, though, is a little sign in front of it. And the little sign said, "For Iraq and Darfur." He did this sculpture in the 90s, mid-90s, and Iraq and Darfur were just the latest examples of the kind of violence that people do to one another. When I understood what that sign meant, I felt my heart break. Sitting in front of this sculpture, I felt my grief well up inside me. Not grief for Jesus or for Mary, but grief for all the victims of violence in Iraq, Darfur, and everywhere since. As I left that hut, I thought to myself that I had just had a real spiritual experience. But then later I got to thinking, what does it mean to say that an experience is spiritual? What does this word mean, and what does that have to do with religion? And what do either of these words mean in our Unitarian Universalist context? And then I had to laugh. I had to laugh for asking these questions because this is a real kind of UU move, isn't it? We have some sort of powerful experience, and then we begin to immediately parse the words that we might use to describe it. It's like the joke about, I think Garrison Keillor loves to tell this joke, why are UUs so bad at singing hymns? Because they're always reading ahead to see if they disagree. But funny or not, I think that these questions about spirituality and religion are important questions. So I want to wrestle with them today. And I want to wrestle with them with help from Frederick Franck. And I want to wrestle with these questions because I think that these are more than a matter of semantics. These are not just about parsing the words. I think they get to the heart of what we do as a community here in what we do as a denomination. And I want to work with the theology of Frederick Franck because I think he brings a valuable perspective to our UU context. He was someone who drew on the Buddhist tradition and drew on the Christian tradition, but did not identify himself with either. Instead, he sought truth wherever it was found. And so he was a really good model for us. But now, without a doubt, this is a tricky topic for us. Because words like spirituality and religion are tricky words. They tend to be associated with particular systems of belief or with doctrines. And I think the concept of religion is especially problematic. Many of us who walk through these doors will say that we are spiritual, but not religious. But it's not always clear what we're embracing when we say we're spiritual, or what we're rejecting when we say we're not religious. So I started thinking, okay, so how do we define these terms? And one place I went was to the Pew Research Center. Do you know Pew? They do these large surveys about religious attitudes. And they're quite remarkable, and that's kind of how we've identified the whole spiritual but not religious trend. Now, Pew defines spirituality as a deep sense of spiritual peace and well-being, as well as a deep sense of wonder about how the universe has arisen. So, in a context like this, only you can say whether you're having a spiritual experience. It's a very subjective thing. Religion, on the other hand, this is really focused on external activities, according to Pew, such as worship and prayer and singing. So from this perspective, when we gather here as a community on Sunday morning, we are indeed religious because we do engage in some form of worship and prayer, even if we understand it differently than other traditions might. So that's what Pew does, but I suspect that others, including some folks here, might take a less liberal attitude towards the term religion. I recently came across a blog post titled "Unitarian Universalist, Christian or Cult?" The writer notes that the belief of Unitarian Universalism appealed greatly to the yuppie generation of today. No penalty for sin, no hell, salvation for all. Ecumenism with all other religions, and extreme theological liberalism with no official creeds. Which I think sounds pretty good. Amen. But from this writer's perspective, if we're a religion just barely, it's religion with air quotes. And actually, I know plenty of UUs who would agree that we should stay away from traditional ideas such as religion and traditional religious labels. In particular, some of us associate words such as spirituality and religion with a belief in the supernatural, and that makes us uncomfortable. And I totally get that. For those of us who are raised outside any religious tradition, traditional religious language might have little meaning. And for those of us who are raised in other religious traditions, that language might be associated with bad experiences that we've had elsewhere. That language might basically be just baggage that we want to leave behind. And I get all that. And yet, I believe that the concepts of spirituality and religion can be useful. We just got to do a little work with them. So I want to go back to my experience at Pachamon Terrace. As I said, I thought of it as a spiritual experience, but in what way? It certainly was not spiritual as Pew defines it. I did not feel peace or a sense of wonder. I felt grief. I felt deep grief. And it wasn't spiritual in line with any particular religious doctrine. And I don't think it was meant to be. Franck used Michelangelo's image of Mary and Jesus, but he did not use it to make any statement about the divinity of Jesus or about the doctrine of atonement. He used that image to express a deep sorrow over the brokenness of this world. He used it to help us see that brokenness and to help us open our eyes to the suffering of others. And this, I think, is one way of understanding spirituality. It is an experience with a sense of connection, an experience of connection with something beyond ourselves. Now, for some people, that something is God. But that's just one possibility. That something is not necessarily something supernatural. For example, it might be a sense of connection with others, an experience of the common humanity that binds us all together. It might be a connection with nature, an experience of the life force that is all around us. And this is something, for example, that's really important to me. Or it might be a connection with community, a community of people like this who commit themselves to learning and growing together, to sharing their joys and sorrows, to sharing in the work of love and justice. That is something that we can connect with. Now, yeah, as Pew defines it, spirituality might involve a deep sense of spiritual peace and well-being. It might. And let's savor those moments when they come along. But I believe that true spirituality is rooted in the recognition that we need not be alone, that we are part of something that is beyond ourselves, and that something can help sustain us and deepen us. And it's true. We are part of something beyond ourselves. This is not just a warm and fuzzy fiction. It's the essence of our existence. As our seventh principle states, and as science tells us, we are part of an interdependent web of all existence. Our well-being depends on the well-being of others, and their well-being depends on ours. So when we come together, whether it's for worship, a covenant group, a service project, we nurture this sense of connection. This is part of the work we do as a faith community. There is nothing supernatural about it, but it's miraculous all the same. And I think this understanding of spirituality provides an understanding of religion as well. As I said earlier, Pew defines religion in terms of the external activity, worship, prayer, singing. And I think that's fine, but I think we need to push deeper. Because what is this religious activity about? Why do we worship together here on a Sunday morning? Why do we sing hymns? Why do we join in meditation, reflection, and prayer? Here again, I think Friedrich Frank might help us. In the reading we heard earlier, Frank talked about how the evolution of the human brain gave us a sense of our mortality, and a sense that mortality is part of our common humanity. Again, he wrote, "This enables us to feel the first inkling of empathy with other living beings. From empathy to compassion is but a step, and voila, we are human." Could true compassion be the central criterion of being human? From empathy to compassion is but a step. You might say that the difference between empathy and compassion is intention. We might feel empathy for someone for their suffering without feeling the urge to help. Compassion gives us that urge. It transforms our awareness of suffering into an intention to act. An intention to act. And this is another part of the work we do as a religious community. Through the words and forms of religions, through the hymns, through the prayers, through the reflections, we nurture our highest intentions. For example, or in the Time for All Ages, I talked about affirming the worth and dignity of every person. This is something I think, when people think about UU, I think this is the first thing that comes to mind. And so when we come together as a community, we nurture the intention to live out that principle, to make that step from empathy to compassion. And Frederick Franck has a saying that captures this in a pithy way. Wisdom, he wrote, is life that knows it is living. Wisdom is life that knows it is living. For the longest time, I wasn't quite sure what that meant. But last fall, I was at Pachamon Terrace again, and I bought a postcard that had that saying, and I actually put it on my wall above my desk. And for the last 9 months, I've stared at that. And I think over time, I finally got it. Life that knows it is living is life that is lived with intention. When we know we are living, we don't sleepwalk through life. We savor it. When we know we are living, we don't accept cultural norms mindlessly. We question them. When we know we are living, we don't look away from injustice. We act. To be religious is to live life with intention. Franck often captured this idea in his icons by showing a face behind a face. And this is an image that he draws from the Buddhist tradition. In May, I preached at our UU congregation in the Shenandoah Valley, where they have one of these icons. And it's actually donated by Roshan, a member here. Take a look at it. It's on your order of service on the inside, down at the bottom of that second page. And you can see there, there's a face in the middle, but there's actually what's outside it is another face. The outside face is our everyday self. This is the self that sleepwalks through life. The face on the inside is the self that is awake. And that's self with a capital S, how Frederick Franck always writes it. It is the self that knows it is living. It is the religious self. This is what we do when we come here on Sunday mornings. We cultivate our religious self. This is the meaning of religion, as I see it. You can attach all sorts of things to it. All sorts of doctrines and beliefs and rituals. But when it comes down to it, religion, the purpose of religion is to cultivate the self that is awake, the life that knows it is living. Now, I say this, but as you use, I suspect that many of us will never be comfortable with this traditional religious language. It's part of our heritage. I think part of what draws many of us here is that kind of questioning nature. That's what's so appealing here. And so perhaps some of us will never be comfortable with saying we're religious or saying that we're even spiritual. And that's all good. That's all good. But let us agree on this, that we want to be awake. That we want to live life with intention, that we want to live as if we know we are living. If we can do that, that is enough. May it be so. Amen.